From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The Republican-dominated House just passed a blueprint for a federal budget with a slim majority. The vote clears the way for the GOP to try to pass Donald Trump's ambitious tax reform plan that will add $1.5 trillion to the federal deficit, despite the party's history of railing against deficits when it comes to social spending. The president and his party have yet to release details on their tax plan, only offering broad outlines and citing misleading figures from their own analysis of the plan, such as the claim that the average American family would get a $4,000 raise. My guest is Chuck Collins, senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies, where he directs the program on inequality and the common good. He's written a number of books, including 99-1, How Wealth Inequality is Wrecking the World and What We Can Do About It, and Born on Third Base, a One Percenter Makes the Case for Tackling Inequality, Bringing Wealth Home and Committing to the Common Good. He recently wrote An Independent Thinker's Guide to the Tax Debate. Welcome back to the program, Chuck.
Hi, Sonali. Thanks for having me.
So let's first talk about the budget outline being passed by the Republican Party, which was supposed to be this big hurdle to the tax reform plan. Because the tax reform plan would cost the federal government $1.5 trillion, the Republican Party, as I understand it, basically passed a budget outline that wrote in the $1.5 trillion deficit. Is that correct?
Yeah, usually tax policy is not done through the budget, but this is the process by which they can pass their tax plan without more than 51 votes, so they can avoid a filibuster. And that's exactly right, Sonali. They're basically saying a framework that allows the plan to lose $1.5 trillion over 10 years. That is the budget framework they've created.
So for some reason, the $1.5 trillion of a federal deficit doesn't bother the Republicans now, but it has bothered them so much in the past that they've brought the government to a standstill, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have deficit hawks here who will rail against, you know, hurricane relief or sort of no-brainer public expenditures because of their concern for the deficit. But when it comes to cutting taxes primarily for their wealthy donor constituencies, they don't seem to have any problem. Part of it is that they have a sort of magical thinking theory that if you cut taxes on the top, the classic trickle-down idea, that that's going to somehow grow the economy and that the deficits will be smaller. So they have a magic thinking theory of dynamic scoring, they call it. And that's part of the assumption of their plan.
Let's also talk about what exactly their tax plan would entail, particularly given that we don't really know that many details. Usually you'll have a detailed plan released, you'll have analysis from the government itself, and you'll have outside analysis. There have been some analyses based on the broad outlines that we know, but all that the government seems to want the public to take away is that the average American family is going to magically get $4,000 in wage increases, which is just remarkable. They don't even say wage increases. They just say a $4,000 raise, which may lead some to believe they're going to get $4,000 back on their in taxes. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the communications secretary, asked on Twitter for people to give her examples of what they would do at $4,000 extra. How did they arrive at that number, as far as you know?
Well, it's actually based on somewhat of a discredited economic study that says, primarily talking about the corporate tax break. So one big piece of this plan and the full outline of the plan, I understand we will see on November 1st coming out of the House Ways and Means Committee. But one centerpiece of that is the corporate tax rate reduction. The current corporate tax rate would be brought down from 35 to 20%. That's the actual statutory rate. And maybe, you know, and through a discredited economic study that shows that would actually have a sort of positive stimulus on the economy, that would lead to new hiring, that would have an upward impact on wages. So it's a very sort of indirect idea. But like a lot of the ways,
it's basically trickle-down economics is what they're using, this idea. Yeah.
This is trickle down economics. I kind of think of it like the trickle down tax cut zombie just keeps rising from the dead, you know, walking down the street. Here it is again, 40 years later, after all the evidence shows this theory is discredited.
Bush's tax cuts also have the same justification that if we just put more money into corporate hands, it's going to trickle down to the rest of us? And didn't that prove to not be true, that basically corporations, when they get more money, they just stash it offshore?
I mean, we can go back to Ronald Reagan's 1981 tax cut, George W. Bush's 1992, just through the years, George W. Bush's 2001 tax plan, the same theory just keeps being put forward. We actually have the evidence. We know what happens, which is massive inequality, growing deficits and debt that leads to kind of an austerity politics. You know, there's not enough money for the things that you want. And, stagnant wages for the rest of the economy. So we know what 40 years of trickle-down economics has done, and it just fails to deliver. But nonetheless, it is an attractive marketing slogan for Republican tax cutters over the years.
In your article, An Independent Thinker's Guide to the Tax Debate, you cite Ha-Joon Chang, who has said basically that it doesn't matter if you give rich people more money, they're just going to get richer, right? I mean, it would be nice for that to become the prevailing wisdom instead of, us waiting for crumbs from the corporate and wealthy table, which never arrive.
Yeah, it just leads to an upward redistribution of wealth, and this idea that somehow wealthy people are going to be more productive in their investing if you give global corporations and the wealthy tax breaks, that would lead to some kind of productive investment, is a flawed theory. We now know you give wealthy people a tax cut, that capital could move anywhere on the planet, and more it's leaving the country and going offshore. It doesn't, if you really want to stimulate the economy, you give low and middle income people tax relief because they will spend it in the economy and that will have a positive economic benefit in local and state economies.
If the idea of corporations being given more money means that they'll just stash it offshore, Republicans would come back to you and say, well, that's why we're offering a repatriation tax holiday to give corporations incentive to, end the tax dodging and bring the money back home. What would you respond to that?
Well, we've tried this before. In 2004, we had a tax holiday for a lot of global corporations. Right now, $2.6 trillion of corporate profits are stashed offshore. And they are saying, well, we'd like to bring it back, but you need to give us amnesty or let us come back and pay 5% on it. We know what happened. In 2004, we had a tax amnesty. Corporations came back, they paid their CEOs more, they paid a dividend to their shareholders, and overwhelmingly, they laid off workers. It was the opposite of what they claimed. And so we actually have evidence. We know, what's interesting is like some of these corporations, Apple, Pfizer Drug, these companies already pay so little in U.S. corporate income taxes that it's hard to give them any more tax relief aside from like sending them direct checks, which is we already do that.
I'm sure they would. The Republicans would like to do that.
We already do that with like General Electric and some companies. We literally, the taxpayers send them checks. They don't pay taxes, and many of them pay their CEOs much, much more than they actually pay in any form of taxes. So we can't give them any more tax relief than they've already got.
Right. And somehow, because the statutory tax rate is high, we keep being told that the corporate taxes in this country are the highest in the world. And that's why corporations go elsewhere. In fact, when they take advantage of all the loopholes that their people have been able to write into our tax code, they pay among the lowest. The good news is that the tax plan that the Republicans are putting forward, despite what they're telling Americans, is extremely unpopular, right? There was a new poll showing that a lot of Americans, only 28% of Americans actually approve of Trump's plan. Also, we know that since the budget outline passed by a mere 4 votes in a majority, they're going to have a pretty big hurdle legislatively to pass the tax reform plan, right?
Yeah, there's some pieces of this plan. One of them is the deduction of state and local taxes, which is the current law. And that's a huge expensive ticket item. And some that may be part of this tax plan. And what happened in the House vote on Thursday at the House budget framework was a lot of Republicans from states like New York State, where there's a fairly high income tax, voted against that. So it's interesting because there's lots of moving pieces to this tax plan, some of which are going to divide even the Republican constituency and may make it challenging to move the whole package through, which I personally hope is the case, meaning I actually hope this just stalls out, very similar to healthcare, all these divisions open up, and we can, you know, have a real conversation, because the Republican plan here is to ram this through, to introduce it. This bill that no one has seen on November 1st, to vote for it a week later in the House, to send it to the Senate, to have it all worked out by the end of Thanksgiving break, and have it go to the president's desk before Christmas. That's the agenda. That's the plan for this tax cut that none of us actually know what the fine print reads.
And of course, that's no surprise. When you're trying to fleece people, you have to subvert democracy, which is essentially what they're doing.
Yeah, and this is even like this is what Senator John McCain too objected around the healthcare bill, which was the failure to follow congressional traditional procedure, which is you actually get a scoring, you get the Congressional Budget Office to tell you how much something's going to cost. You look at the potential downsides, et cetera. One of the components of this bill is abolishing the estate tax, which is only paid by the richest 2 out of 1,000 households. It's only paid by multimillionaires and billionaires, and yet they're selling that as like this is somehow going to help ordinary people.
But it's the death tax, Chuck, the death tax. It means you get taxed for dying. I mean, that's how they sell it, and fearmonger among ordinary Americans who sadly too many of them buy it.
Yeah. Well, what I would say is this Halloween, when you think about the death tax, think of the Mars family, right? The Mars family is the company that makes peanut M&Ms and Snickers bars and Starbursts. They are one of the dynastic wealthy families in this country that are paying, you know, they're spending millions of dollars to save themselves billions of dollars by lobbying for estate tax reform. So when we hear the estate tax, don't think of these small businesses and farmers that the death tax people want us to think of. Think of like the $100 billion Mars family that has not paid any taxes on the growth of wealth in that family business. Those are the folks that really want to trick us and keep all the treats.
It's amazing. After the first couple of billion or even the first couple of million, how much more money do people need? I mean, what do you do with all that extra cash? What are they planning on doing with all of that extra cash? So let's also talk about what happens in Congress. Now, with this new budget outline that the House just passed with a $1.5 trillion deficit built into it, an increase in the deficit built into it, if the tax reform bill does fail, does the House go back and reconsider the budget outline they just passed?
Well, they will probably pass something related to a budget. But we've had Congresses in the past that have failed to pass a budget, and then they simply pass a continuing resolution to keep government going. So it may be that this budget process goes into 2018 and it just drags on and on and on. And I have to say, my hope is that it doesn't come together, that this master tax plan falls apart just like the healthcare plan, because it is so skewed in terms of who it benefits. I mean, at this point, we estimate 80% of the dollar benefits will go to the richest 1% of households, and some of the provisions like the pass-through business income provision would just gut the tax system effectively. And that's the objective, maybe, for some of the Republican constituency. And so this is a really good time for all of us to sort of wake up and say, look, this is a money grab. It's essentially a heist, and we need to do everything we can to stop it from moving forward.
If the tax plan fails, where does that leave the Republican Party? There was a New York Times piece that said tax cuts are the glue holding a fractured Republican Party together. Several high-profile Republicans have split from the party now over Trump and the fact that he is so unhinged. Because healthcare reform failed, they moved very quickly onto tax reform, hoping that that will be their signature piece of legislation. If that fails too, we will have a political crisis.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Republicans can disagree about a lot of things, but tax cuts for the wealthy and corporations is actually one of the things that they do come together around. I think that it's very possible that something will pass. It may be scaled down. It may not include all the pieces that have been floated. And that may be part of the strategy, is to say, you know, look, we want five loaves and we're going to take two loaves in the end. In the end, I think the Republicans, they know that this is their do or die moment. And even though they're fragmented and attacking each other, this is the common ground for most of them. So I would be surprised if nothing gets through, but we may be able to sort of stop some of the worst aspects of that they're putting forward right now.
Chuck, thanks as always for joining us today. We'll post a link to your latest piece from our website. Thanks.
Thanks, Sonali.
Chuck Collins is a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies, where he directs the program on inequality and the common good. We've been discussing his latest piece, An Independent Thinker's Guide to the Tax Debate. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.